If you have a Bible, why don't you open it up to Psalm 133, and in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 519, and why don't you stand as we read Psalm 133. I'll read it, and you can follow along on page 519. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on his collar, on his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let's read verse 1 again. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we pray that you would bless our time together. We thank you for the testimonies that we've heard this morning of unity in the church. It's unfortunately rare. And God, we give you the praise and the glory and the acknowledgement that you have created unity here in this church, that it's not our works or our effort, but it's your spirit living within us that has made us one. We praise you and pray that you would have your way in us as we submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have a seat. So we are winding down our sermon series through the book of Psalms, Journey of the Soul. One of the journeys that our souls crave are relationship. Our souls crave to be in deep, meaningful, connected, authentic relationships. Don't they? Some of you may feel isolated. Some of you introverts think, I don't need that many relationships. But the key is you don't need that many. Your soul craves deep relationships, maybe with a few. And some of you extroverts, you want to have touch points with 1,000 people. All of us, no matter how you're wired, your soul craves deep, meaningful, connected, authentic relationship. Study after study shows that isolation and loneliness have an intensely negative effect on the human mind, body, and soul. In fact, isolation, loneliness leads to mental illness, and it also shows an increase in physical illness. How many of you have seen the movie Castaway? Couple, put your hand up nice and high. So Castaway, Tom Hanks is the character there. He's stranded on an island all alone. I can't remember how long he's there, but he's lonely, he's isolated, and it starts playing tricks on his mind. He's going crazy, and he turns Wilson, the volleyball, into a friend, right? His soul is craving relationship. He has no human contact. So as his mind begins to deteriorate, he tries to turn a volleyball into a human relationship. Most people feel cut off from community, not because they're stranded on a physical island like Tom Hanks in Castaway, but because we're isolated, we're on an emotional or a relational island as a result of conflict, insecurity, or pride. I think if you feel lonely or disconnected, it's probably because there's relationships in your life that have gone sour and you've kind of distanced yourself from community. You've backed yourself off from community. And so here the Psalms, they address this deep need that our souls have, this craving that we have for connection, unity. David, the author of the Psalms here, writes, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. David, the king of Israel, knew what disunity and what loneliness felt like. He was on the run from Saul earlier in his life, and he was hiding in caves. He was isolated. He was alone. He had seen Judah and Israel, the two kingdoms of Israel, divided, and he had seen war and tension. And so here he's attesting, he's saying how good and pleasant it is when we find unity. When our soul's craving for unity, for connection, for relationship, when we find that, how good and pleasant and pleasing that is. Here in the context of Psalm 133, David is talking about Israel and Judah and saying, when we get along, how good and pleasant that is to the Lord, how pleasing that is. And when we find unity in the nation of Israel, how pleasing that is here in the Old Testament. But for us, in our stage of redemptive history, it's brothers and sisters. So David writes, when brothers dwell in unity, the nation Israel. But us, post-Christ, when we hear the word brothers, we think brothers in Christ, brothers in Jesus, brothers and sisters of one another. So when we read the Psalms, we look at Jesus being the fulfillment of the Psalms. So David's talking about Israel. We read this saying the local church. Our stage in redemptive history tells us that this means one another here in Christ. Anyone united through the blood of Jesus Christ is a brother and sister. So all of us together who believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we're brothers and sisters of one another. And so David here is testifying to that. He's saying, how good when you get along, how good when we get along, how good when brothers and sisters in Christ in the church get along. There's specific, I think unity is a proof of the fact that we're anointed and it grants fruitfulness in our mission. That's kind of the big idea that I just want to unpack briefly this morning. And Psalm 133 attests to it, that when we find unity, it's confirmation that we're anointed by the Holy Spirit, that we're true followers of Jesus Christ. Where unity exists within the body of Christ, you can look at that and say there's confirmation that Jesus is at work, that these people have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And it also helps us to fulfill our mission. It gives us fruit in our labors. It gives us fruit in our ministry. I think that's what David is getting at here. Look at verse 2. So in verse 1, he says, unity is great. We need to strive for unity. We desire unity. And then verse 2. Verse 2 and 3 get a little bit weird, right? People will read verse 1 and think, oh, that's great. That's nice. That's a really great passage. That's a verse. It's a good verse. I understand it. How good it is when brothers dwell in unity. And then you read verse 2 and 3 and you think, what's all this weird talk about oil on a beard and mountains and dew, and how does that fit into context? Well, here's what David's saying. Verse 2, you can look back to Exodus chapter 30 and see the anointing that God anointed Aaron as a priest. He's saying, I'm setting Aaron apart. And so David here is looking and saying, when there's unity in the camp, it's proof that the camp, that the leaders, that the body has been anointed. Verse 2, it says, when there's unity, it is like precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robe. So you can check that with Exodus chapter 30 and see what David's referring to there. But he's saying that when there's unity, it's confirmation that God's people have been anointed, that they've been consecrated, that they've been set apart. So when you see unity within the church family, you can say the Holy Spirit must be at work there. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit. These people have been consecrated and set apart for the work of the Lord. Unity attests to that. Listen to how 1 John chapter 4, verse 22 and verse 20 and 21 says it. John, who walked and talked with the Lord Jesus, he says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. There it is. This passage is telling us in the New Testament now, in light of Jesus Christ, the one who unifies us, the Holy Spirit who anoints us. Jesus saves us, the Holy Spirit anoints us and seals us and bonds us together. He's saying, if you love your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's proof that you've been saved. That's proof that you've been anointed. That's proof that the Holy Spirit is working within you. There's actually a measurement to know, is God working in my life? Is God working in our church? And that measurement is, do you love one another? God's word is telling us that if we do not love one another, we don't love God. It says it right there, doesn't it? That's how we know. Are we growing in our love for God? If we are, we'll be growing in our love for our brothers and sisters. An assessment question for us at Park Community Church. After 1 year of marriage, right, our 1 year anniversary, these two churches got married a year ago. I've done quite a few weddings now, and with every couple, it's a little bit different. Some people, the first year is a big adjustment, it's really hard. Two people become one, you get married, and all of a sudden you're learning new patterns. For other people, the second year is more tough. Because first year, you're still kind of on the honeymoon, extended for a year, and then all of a sudden, year two hits, and it's like, I haven't changed that annoying habit in the first year. Maybe I'm never going to change it. Year two is revealing to me that I'm stuck with it. Okay, so as Park Community, as we enter year two, I think a good assessment question for you to ask, do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ more or less than you did a year ago? As you've gotten to know one another, as we've like lifted the hood to the engine and started tinkering around, do you love one another more or less than you did a year ago? The scriptures would say, if we love God, we will love one another more. If you don't love God, you are becoming more bitter with people in the church, and maybe they're not your brothers and sisters because maybe you don't actually know God. Maybe you're immersed in church culture. Maybe you know about God, but you haven't been anointed or set apart or consecrated by him. So a question, do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ more now than you did a year ago? And if you're new to the church, jump in and start to wrestle through that. This is a good place to grow in love for one another. Now, if you answer that question with a no, you don't necessarily have to question your salvation. It's possible to be struggling with love for other brothers and sisters in Christ and still be a Christian. But what it's an indicator, what it indicates is that your love for God is weak, that your tank is empty. And you need to grow in your love for God. You need to press into him and his word and allow his spirit to fill you again and to anoint you again and to give you the power to love your brothers and sisters again. We're not saved by our love for God, are we? We're saved by God's love for us. So if you're struggling to love brothers and sisters, don't just jump to it. Based off what I said, don't just jump to, maybe I'm not saved. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved. If you're struggling to love, foster a greater love for him, and the outflow of that will be love for others, love for brothers and sisters. When we love one another, we know that we're anointed with the Spirit. That's how we know. There's evidence of the Spirit at work when we love one another, when there's unity in the church. Second point, so unity is proof that we're anointed, and it grants fruitfulness in our mission. So look at verse 3. Well, verse 1, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Okay, so that's the subject. That's what David's talking about here. He's saying, how great when we dwell in unity. And then verse 3, what's the result of unity? Well, it's like the dew of Mount Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. The dew of Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is a mountain in the north. It's a high mountain. And the mounts of Zion are in the south, and they're lower mountains. And so here he's showing, he's giving this symbolism, this imagery that the north and the south are getting along, that Israel and Judah are getting along, that they can be one. And he's also saying, so dew is necessary for produce. It gives water for vegetation to grow. And so what he's saying here is that dew, it comes from the north and it blesses the south, that there's this fruitfulness that happens within the community when there is unity within that community. That's a lot of unities. But there's fruitfulness. He's saying that unity results in the kind of culture that can actually lead to growth and to harvest and to fruit. Dew helps vegetation to grow and to flourish and to blossom and for the harvest to happen. And so for us in the New Testament context, he's saying when there's unity within the church, there will be fruitfulness and effectiveness in ministry. Unity is one of the key elements to effective witness, evangelism, and outreach. We can't make disciples if we're not unified as disciples. What did Jesus tell us our mission was? To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our mission as a church is to be disciples of Jesus, to make disciples of Jesus. We can't do that if we're not unified. It doesn't work. If we don't love our brothers and sisters, how are we going to go out of this building and reach out to people and tell them about how great Jesus is and how Jesus can forgive their sins and how Jesus loves them and how Jesus wants to adopt them as a son and daughter and put them into this glorious family? And then they walk into the family and they're like, I don't want to be a part of that family. All of that stuff that you told me is a lie because nobody likes one another here. So unity creates a culture from which we can actually fulfill our mission, where there's fruitfulness in our mission. There's no vibrant witness in a church that bickers, fights, quarrels, and gossips. None. The vibrant witness is stifled. Here David is saying, when we get along, when there's unity, what a blessing that is to us and to others. And he even says that at the end of verse 3. He says, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. Where there's unity, God has commanded a blessing. Life forevermore. We begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. We begin to taste the heavenly, eternal realities here and now. And then others can see that, and they're attracted to it. It's like a magnetic pull, and they want in. They want to understand this God that we're serving and worshiping. David makes it clear that a unified body is where blessing can be found and where blessing flows from. Jesus says something similar in John 13. Verse 34 and 35, he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The world will know the church is anointed by God himself, and that there is fruit, and we'll see fruit from our ministry. We'll begin to experience fruit from our ministry when we're unified. That's what this passage is saying. Get together, love one another, serve one another, be one, view one another as brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters don't always get along, right? We don't have to pretend that it's all rainbows and unicorns. To some of you, that would cause enough strife anyway. But we need to work through things together. We need to come together as brothers and sisters and say, we're in the same family. We need one another. We serve one another. We love one another, and we're not going anywhere. We're by one another's side. We're sticking it out together because our eyes are focused on Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Perfecter, our Unifier, the one who's anointed us, and the one who's causing fruit to grow out of our ministry. Praise God for the testimonies this morning that Lori was able to say that she sees fruit. She's testifying to unity in the church, which wasn't Dr. Nick. I love you, brother. Thank you for sharing. Testifying to unity in the church that he wasn't experiencing years ago. Praise God. Why is that? Lord, help us not to think that it was because we did something right. It's because the Spirit is living and active, and he's binding us together as brothers and sisters for his glory, that St. Louis Park would come to know Jesus Christ, worship him, and see life abundantly. The Psalms is filled with that kind of talk, that we may receive the fullness of joy and pleasures evermore, which are at God's right hand in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I love you, church. This is an incredible journey that we've been on. It's been 1 year. We have many more to go. My marriage, just on a personal note here, my marriage, year one, was easier than year two. I like to kind of get into things and play really well for the first year, and then year two, it's kind of like, okay, now, I mean, year two was great, right, Brittany? Loved it. But, you know, it's different. Relationships are hard. What was your phrase, Lori?
Being a human being is difficult.
And then you put a bunch of different human beings who struggle to be a human being on their own into a relationship, and it's even more difficult. Because people say things and do things that you don't like, and they make smells that you don't appreciate, and whatever. But this is family. Church is family. We're in this together. Praise God for it.